Alva.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Good to see you, and I want to welcome all of our 8 campuses. And for those of you watching online and joining us, if you'll take out your message notes or open up your iPhone to the Saddleback app, it has the notes on it there, and you can be a part of it. I want to welcome you to week 2 of Live Your Calling. What on earth am I here for? Now, to understand your purpose in life and your calling in life, you know, we're talking about Live Your Calling being kind of an advanced version of 40 Days of Purpose. We're taking a step deeper into God's purposes. To understand your calling in life, you have to begin with the nature of God. What is God like? Because God is your creator, and to understand why he made you you, you need to understand who God is. Now, the Bible tells us that God is love. The only reason there's any love in the universe, because God, our creator, is love. I've told you this many times. It doesn't say God has love. It doesn't say God does love. It says God is love. It is the essence of his nature. It is his character. All love comes from God. If God was not a God of love, you would be incapable of loving. Because you are made in God's image. Ants can't love. Snails can't love. Cows can't love. But human beings are made in the image of God. And the Bible says God is love. It is his nature. And the Bible tells us that everything in the universe God created simply so he could love it. And that includes you. If you want to know why your heart is beating, if you want to know why you're here, if you want to know why there's blood pulsing through your veins right now, it's because God made you to love you. That's the whole reason. If God hadn't wanted to love you, you would not exist. God has never made anything that he doesn't love. And so you're alive, it means that God wanted to love you. Now, the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 1. If you have a Bible, you might open to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 4 and 5. And if you didn't bring a Bible, all of the messages, notes are there on your outline, all the verses. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5 says this. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us. Whoa, hang on here. Read that again. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His, God's unchanging plan has always been, it's never changed from the beginning of time, has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. You're getting the big picture. You're getting the reason for the whole universe right here. It's always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him, read it with me, great pleasure. Circle that, great pleasure. Now, those of you who went through 40 Days of Purpose know we talked about you were planned for God's pleasure. God gets enjoyment in watching you be you. God gets enjoyment, God gets pleasure in simply loving you. Your plan for his pleasure, and by the way, that plan had nothing to do with your goodness or your badness. It had God's pleasure has nothing to do with your performance. God loves you because he is love. And he loves you on your good days and your bad days, when you feel it and you don't feel it, when you think you deserve it, when you don't think you deserve it. God loves you unconditionally. In fact, he loved you before he even made you. That's how much he loves you. Now, in this series of Living Your Call, we're going to look at God's 5 calls on your life. Last week in week 1, we talked about 8 things you need to know about God's call for your life. And if you missed that message, you're going to need to go back and listen to it. It's on the internet, and catch up. But of these 5 callings, which are God's purposes for making you, God's reasons for making you, God's assignment for what he wants you to do with your life here on earth. The first, the one we're going to look at this weekend, is by far the most important of all. And all of the other things we're going to look at in the next 5 weeks all flow out of this one calling. this one purpose. I want you to write this down. The first purpose of my life is to be loved by God. That is the very first purpose of your life, to be loved by God. Now, let me explain this. The first purpose of your life is not to do something. The first purpose of your life is not to trust God. The first purpose of your life is not to obey God. The first purpose of your life is not to serve God. The first purpose of your life is not even to love God. The first purpose of your life is to let God love you. God made you to love you. Now, if you will let that sink in, what I just said to you is the most radical, revolutionary thought ever known to man. I was made not, first of all, to do something. I was made, first of all, to be loved. And so my first task, my first calling, my first assignment, my first purpose in life is to let God love me. To let Him love me. Now, if you'll let that sink in, it'll change your life. That my number one, when I get up in the morning, the number one thing I'm supposed to do that day is not work. The number one thing I'm supposed to do with my life is not pray. The number one thing I'm not supposed to do with my life, I'm supposed to do with my life is not give, serve, obey. Those are all good things. I'm not saying they're not good. They're all good things. Listen to God, learn from God. Those are all good things. But the number one thing I'm supposed to get done today and tomorrow is to enjoy the love of God. God made me to love me. There's a little book in the Bible called the Book of Jude. You know, hey, Jude, you know him. And most people don't know about this book. It's back near the very end of the Bible, next to Revelation. It's a very short book. It's only 25 verses. I always like to bring in these guys that you've never heard of, because when you get to heaven, I don't want you to be embarrassed. I don't want Jude to come up to you and go, hey, how'd you like my book? If, oh, Jude, I thought you were just a song. No, actually, he was in the Bible, and he wrote a book. And to introduce his very short book of only 25 words, Jude says this. Jude chapter 1, verse 1. This letter is from Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I am writing to all who are called to live in the love of God. That's your first calling. Underline that, circle it. Called to live in the love of God the Father and called to live in the love and the care of Jesus Christ. Circle the word called. He said, that's your very first purpose. I'm called to live in the love of God. By the way, in this book, Jude just shows enormous humility in this verse, because he doesn't say who he really is. He says, letter Jude, a servant of Jesus and a brother of James. Do you know who James was? James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. If anybody had a right to name drop, hi guys, it's Jude. I'm writing. I grew up with Jesus. What do you mean half brother? Well, the Bible is very clear that Jesus was born of a virgin. Mary and Joseph hadn't had sex. But the Bible is also very clear that after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had a bunch of kids, and they're actually named in the Bible. And many times it says his brothers and sisters came to hear him preach. And one of them was James, and another was Jude. It's interesting, none of Jesus' brothers followed him. None of Jesus' sisters followed him until after the resurrection. They said, you know, how'd you like to grow up with a perfect brother? It'd be pretty tough. It's like, mom always says, he always, you know, you get in a fight, but he did it. Now, Jude, you know who your brother is. Now, that would give me a pretty bad complex. But James and Jude were two of the half-brothers of Jesus. What does that mean? Joseph was their father and Mary was their mother. Jesus only had Mary's blood in him. Didn't have Joseph's blood. So they're half-brothers. Now, Jude could have just been on an ego trip, said, here's Jude. I'm the guy who grew up with Jesus. I played with him growing up. I know about him. So he just says, a servant of Jesus Christ. That's humility. With such humility. But he says, we're called to live in the love of God the Father. Now, write this down. If my first purpose is to be loved by God, my first calling is to enjoy a relationship with God. That's the God's first call on your life. Remember last week I said you make a living by your career, but you make a life by your calling. And God has called you to do five things with your life. And if you miss that, it doesn't matter how much money you make in life or how famous you become, you just wasted your life because you weren't put on here to simply accumulate things, put on earth to do that. So God is calling us, and he says, I've called you to be loved by me. I've called you to enjoy a relationship with me. The number one calling in your life is not to a responsibility. It's not to a role. It's not, God doesn't call you to rules. God doesn't call you to regulations. God doesn't call you to rituals. The number one thing God wants you to do with your life is have a relationship. Christianity is not a religion. It's not about rules, regulations, or rituals. It's a relationship. People try to make it a religion, try to make it about rules, religion, rituals, and regulations. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and I came to give you a relationship. Now, what kind of relationship does God want me to have with him? Does God want me to be a slave? No. Does God want me to be a servant? No. Does God want me to be his soldier? No. Does God want me, did God create me to be a worker bee? No. An employee? No. One of the minions? No. Why did God make me? He made me for a relationship. And as a relationship, to be a part of his family. Look at this next verse, Romans 1, 7. Paul says this, he starts out his book, Dear Friends in Rome. God loves you dearly, and he has called you to be his very own people. Circle that very own people. Now here's the third thing. First, the first purpose of my life is to let God love me. The first calling of my life is to enjoy a relationship with God. And this relationship, third thing, write this down, is to be his son or daughter. That's why God made you. God made you to be a son of God, or a daughter of God, or a child of God. God uses family terms for our relationship. Jesus is our father. God is our father. Jesus is our brother. And we are children of God in the family of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. God created the universe because he wanted a family. And there are many, many scriptures about being a child of God, being in God's family, being a son of God, or a daughter of God. This is the most amazing truth. Look at this verse, 1 John chapter 3. What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. I love that in the Amplified Translation. What an incredible quality of love God the Father has shown to us, that we should be named the children of God, called the children of God, counted as children of God, and so as are we to be. This is your number one calling of life. Now, I could send you home just to think about this for a week. It's such a mind blower. The number one purpose of your life is to be a daughter of God, is to be a son of God, is to be a member of God's family. Why would God do this? Why would God do this? Because God is love. And because God wanted to demonstrate his love to himself. God wanted to show his love to the entire universe. And God loves you, as I said, on good days and bad days. He's never going to love you any more than he does right now. He's never going to love you any less. And you can't make God stop loving you. Let me show you a verse that kind of sums it up. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 17 and 19, I pray, and this is my prayer for you. I'm praying this for you during this series. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts. In other words, you just let him move into your life as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. God says, I want you to put your roots deep into my love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love really is. May you experience, circle that word, may you experience this love, the love of Christ. God doesn't want you to just know it. Yeah, I know God loves me. Ho-hum, what's next? No, God says, I want you to experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, God's love for you, it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Now, notice it gives four dimensions. God's love for you is four-dimensional. Wide, long, high, and deep. So what does that mean? How wide is God's love? Write this down. Wide enough to be everywhere. That's how wide it is. It's wide enough to be everywhere. There is no place you will ever go in life where God's love is not. You go to prison, it's there. You go to a bar, it's there. You go to a street of red light district, the streetwalkers, it's there. There is no place where God's love is not. God's love is so wide, it's everywhere. What does that mean? In your life, as you go through life, there may be times when you feel alone, but you're not. You're just not tuned in. It's like right now, I could say, it's quiet in here. But right now, there are all kinds of radio waves going through this airspace, and radio and television waves too. And if I tune in, I can hear that this air is full of sounds right now. I just can't hear them. It's full of pictures. I just can't see them. Many times in your life, you won't see or hear God, but he's there. Just as real as those radio and television waves are going right through your body right now. You can't see him, you can't feel him, you can't hear him, but they're real. In God's presence, there is no place you will ever go in life where God is not. So you're never truly alone. It's wide enough to be everywhere. Then it says, I want you to understand how long it is. How long is God's love? Write this down. Long enough to last forever. God's love lasts forever. Now, that's different than human love, because human love wears out. That's why there are divorces. That's why people have conflict. That's why people have separations, why boyfriend and girlfriend break up. Human love often wears out, but God's love lasts forever. God will never, 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 never stop loving you. Wide enough to be everywhere, long enough to last forever. How deep is it? It's deep enough to handle anything. Deep enough to handle anything. No matter what problem you're going through, no matter what pain you're going through, no matter what stress you're going through, you say, man, I am in the pits. I'm in the pit of hell right now. I have hit bottom. God's love is deeper than any pit you'll ever fall into. It's so deep. It goes way, way deeper than the deep problem you're in right now. And how high is it? How high is God's love? It's high enough to overlook my mistakes. That's an amazing thing. It is so high and so wide and so long and so deep that it handles everything I give it. High enough to overlook my mistakes, regardless of what you've done. Regardless of how long you've done it, and regardless of who you've done it with, forgiveness is available to you. And God can forgive you, and God can help you start over. Now, I just want to say this. 1,000 years before you were born, 10,000 years before you were born, God knew that at this moment you would be listening to me speak, because he wanted to get you to be quiet just long enough he could say this to you. You have no idea how much I love you. I have always loved you. I have never not loved you. I have loved you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I've seen every high, low, every wide, every good, bad, ugly, every sin, every stupid thing, every happy time. I've seen the celebrations. I've seen the deaths. I've seen it all in your life. And there's been no second in your life that I didn't love you. The moment God removes his love from your life, you would not exist. Because you exist solely for God to love you. And the problem that you've had in your life is not that you don't love God enough. That's not your problem. You say, well, you know, I'm just not very close to God. I just don't love God. That is not your problem. Your problem is you don't understand how much he loves you. Because if you really got it, if you really understood how much God loves you, you could not help but love him. A God who loves you so wide, so deep, so high, so long, that it handles everything in your life. Your problem is you don't realize how much God loves you. And your first calling in life is not to make a lot of money. It's not to get married. It's not to be famous. It's not even to make a contribution. It's not ministry. It's not service. It's not achievement. It's not accomplishment. Your first and primary purpose in life is to build a relationship with God and let him love you. And you learn to love him back because he loves you so much. Now, I wrote you this week an email. And in that email, I said this: how would your life change if you felt completely, unconditionally, totally loved by God every single moment of your life? I mean, you felt it, not just knew it, but if you felt it every single moment of your life, how would that change your life in a positive way? That's what I want us to spend the rest of our time looking at this weekend. But before we do that, I want us to stop and thank God for the kind of love that is wide enough to be everywhere, long enough to last forever, deep enough to handle anything, and high enough to overlook my mistakes. So I want us all to stand, and I want you to sing this song with all your heart as your love back to God. What is my first calling? To let God love me. To let God love me. To be in relationship to him. To be a son of God. To be a daughter of God, to be a part of his family, to be in a love relationship with God. If you get that done, that's the first purpose of your life. You miss that one, sorry, you just wasted your life. Because you weren't put on this planet to mark things off your to-do list. God made you to love you. Now, what would happen if I were really to stay aware constantly that when I got up in the morning, I was aware of God's unconditional love. When I got in the shower, I was aware of God's unconditional love. When I got in my car, I was aware of God's unconditional love. When I went shopping, when I went to work, when I went to pick up kids, when I went to the movies, no matter what happened, I was constantly aware of God's love in my life. How would that change my life? If I felt totally and completely accepted by God all times, if I fulfilled the first calling of my life, what would it do to me? Well, it would transform you, is what it'd do. Let me give you five specific things. I could give you 100, but we'll just give you 5. What happens if I stay aware of God's constant love for me? Number one, I feel accepted rather than ashamed. I go through life feeling accepted rather than ashamed. See, most people avoid God. And the reason they avoid God is because they feel ashamed. They feel guilty. They feel judged. They feel put down. But Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. Most people run from God because they don't understand how unconditionally God loves them. And so they walk around feeling ashamed all of their lives. You have done stuff you don't want anybody else in this room to know. And so have I. And everybody go through life carrying a giant bag of guilt on their back, which is quite tiring unless you learn how to let it go in the unconditional love of God. But if I understand God's love, what happens? Well, look what the Bible says, Romans 5:1. By faith, we have been made acceptable to God. And now, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God. I'm accepted rather than ashamed. Look at the next verse, Romans 8, verse 33. If God says his chosen ones are acceptable to him, if God says his chosen ones are acceptable to him, can anybody else bring charges against them? Or can anybody else condemn them? No, indeed. This is a trump card, friends. If God likes you and you like you and somebody else doesn't like you, that's their problem. Because one plus God is all you need. You see, most people go through life scared to death that other people are going to disapprove of them. And so you wear clothes that you think other people approve. And you say things that you think other people approve. And you act in ways you think other people... You live your life for the approval of other people. But when you understand the unconditional love of God, it says, hey, if somebody else wants to criticize me, that's their problem. If God says his chosen ones are acceptable to him, can anybody bring charges? Can anybody condemn? Can anybody... No. No. Do you realize how liberating that would be if you all of a sudden weren't a slave to the approval of other people? You can have that by fulfilling your first calling in life, letting God love you. Learning to live in the love of God will change you and release you from the approval of other people. Number two, if I let God love me constantly, number two, I'm bold in bringing my needs to God. If I know God loves me completely, I'm not ashamed to come to him. I'm not afraid to come to him. I never think he's too busy. I talk to him all the time. And I'm bold in bringing my needs to God. Why? Because I'm a child of God. And children get access. This last week, Kay and I went to see that movie, Lincoln. You see that movie, Lincoln? One of the things I loved about it is Lincoln's youngest son, Todd, is constantly barging into the room. Here's a civil war going on. Kings and queens are waiting to see the president. There's a line of people out in the foyer. Tad doesn't have to ask. It's his daddy. He just barges in. And what does his dad do? Drops everything, picks him up, and puts him in his lap. Every single time. Never tells him to go away. Why? Because he loves his son. He loves his son. And while everybody else is waiting in line to get in to see the President of the United States, Tad walks in, pushes the door open, comes in a, you know, a cart driven by a pony or whatever. Because he's a child of God. He's a child of the President. Kids get access. When you realize that you are truly a daughter of God, that you are truly a son of God, it means two things. Number one, you have an enormous authority. I'm a child of God. I was sitting on a plane one time. A guy gave me his card, and he said, we have sites, or I can't remember, franchises. I don't remember what he called it. Companies. We have sites in 100 companies. I said, really? Yeah. I said, I'm a part of a pretty big corporation, too. He goes, yeah, he goes, really? He says, where? How many countries are you in? Every one of them. Really? Yeah, actually thousands and thousands of. How long has your company been in business? 2,000 years. Really, really. How wealthy is it? Unbelievably wealthy. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What are you? I'm a pastor. But more important than that, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. And because as God's son, I have royal blood in me. I have authority and I have access because I'm in the privileged family. And God loves me. And I can walk through that door and God's going to say, son, can you come back a little bit later? I'm a little busy right now. I don't have time for your prayer. God will never, ever say that to you. Your first calling. I'm bold in bringing my needs to God. Look at these verses. Romans chapter 8. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So, you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You're a child of God. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. And the Aramaic there, Abba, which is the word daddy. It means daddy, dear daddy. And since we are his children, We will share his treasure, that's the inheritance, for everything God gives to his son Christ is ours too. So I'm bold in bringing my needs to God. Last year when U2 came and did a concert here in Southern California, and most of you know I've been a friend with Bono for many years, and we've done a lot of things together, the peace plan and AIDS and stuff like that. And so he gave all my family all access passes. So we're at the U2 concert, and we're all backstage, and there's all these famous people. And we had a little tag, and when people would try to stop us, they'd say, "Who are you?" And they'd say, "All access." All access. "Come right in, Mr. Warren. Go right ahead." When you become a Christian, when you give your life to Christ, when you say yes to Jesus, you get an all-access pass to God. And you're never told no. You're never, "Sorry, you got to stay back with the peons and the minions." No, you get into the inner circle. That's how much God loves you. He says, we're all his children. We're going to share. Look at this next verse, Hebrews 4:16. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence." In other words, when you pray, you don't say, "Oh, please, God, maybe if you could spare it." "Approach the throne with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I am bold in bringing my needs to God because I know how much he loves me." Jesus said, you can ask for anything. Number three, a third benefit of living your calling, beginning to be aware that every moment of your life God is thinking of you and loving you, is this: I have peace in pain I don't understand. When I'm in pain I don't understand, when I'm going through suffering I don't understand, when I'm having a problem that I don't understand, I don't have to understand it to be at peace. I don't have to know all of the whys, because I know the who. I know God, and I know God's promise. And on this side of heaven, there are a lot of whys. You're going to ask, "Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did that happen?" We're not going to know on this side. And God doesn't owe you an explanation for anything. God wants you to trust him. Besides, an explanation never gives you comfort anyway. It's just an explanation. What you need is not comfort. What you need is not an explanation. You need the presence of God in your life. And when I understand that God is always with me and he loves me that much, I can have peace even in the middle of my pain when I don't understand at all why it's going on and why it's happening. The Bible calls this, quote, "the peace that passes understanding." Look at this verse up on the screen. Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus." Now, what is that? What is the peace that passes understanding? It's when you have peace even though you don't understand the thing that's going on. That's the peace that passes understanding. When you go, "I haven't the slightest idea why this is happening, and I don't even know how we're going to get out of it. I don't know how I got in it. I don't know how I'm going to get out of it, but I have a sense of peace because I have a Father who loves me, and I know what God has promised. And I know that my God, my Father, is going to take care of me, and he can handle anything." I'll never forget when I was 5.5 years old. My sister Shondell was 2. My dad had planted a church in Portland, Oregon. And one day we were driving in the car, and Dad was in the driver's seat. I was over in the front seat, and little Shondell, 2 years old, was back in the back seat with a safety belt, a seat belt. Now, in those days, they didn't have a strap, and in those days, they didn't have car seats. This was pre-car seat day. So she's just a little girl, but she's in the back seat. And as we're getting ready to cross the Columbia River on one of those many bridges in Portland, as we get ready to go across that bridge, a car swerves over in front of my dad, and in order to avoid hitting that car, my dad swerved real quick, and he jerked it so quick, the door opened to the back seat, and my baby sister, 2-year-old, went flying out the door. I'll never forget that sight. And I saw my 2-year-old little baby sister tumbling across a bunch of tar, tarred gravel on the side of the road. I was paralyzed with fear watching my baby sister, it's still seared in my mind, tumble across that at high speed. I saw my dad slam the brake on, put it in neutral, jump out of the car, run over, and pick up that little baby, scoop her up in his arms like this, scared to death. And I remember him coming back, and from this point it was a blur, and he put her in the car next to me, and I was holding her, my baby sister, and she was bleeding like crazy, and I'm 5.5 years old. And we rush to a hospital, and they rush her into emergency, and my dad then gets on the phone and calls mom, who's at home, and I'm sitting there by myself, petrified with fear, but all of a sudden, the peace that passes understanding came over me, and I thought, Daddy will handle this. And I just had that calm assurance. Now, the fact is, your father, my father, and those of us who are fathers, we don't have unlimited power. We don't have unlimited ability. But God does. His power is unlimited and his love is unlimited. Now, that doesn't exempt you from pain. It doesn't exempt me from pain. Believers have the same pains and problems everybody else does. We just get the peace that passes understanding. Now, why do we have that peace and understanding? Because we have the promise of God of Romans 8:28. We looked at it last week and we just sang it. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Even in the accidents, even in the tragedies, even in all the evil things. A lot of stuff happens in the world that is not God's will. Don't blame God for a shooting. Where is God when people get gunned down? He's weeping too. Why? Because he's given us a free will. God could take away all the pain, be real simple, turn us all into puppets so you can't make any bad mistakes. And I can't make any bad mistakes. And nobody else can sin either. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called, circle that, called according to his purpose. This is your first purpose, your first calling. You are called to be loved by God. And when you understand that, you're accepted rather than ashamed. And you boldly bring your request to God. And you have peace even in pain that you don't understand, because my God is a good God. And he's working for all things for my good. All things work together for my good. Number four. A fourth benefit that we have is I gain the courage to take risks. When you fully understand how much God loves you, it's going to liberate you from many of the fears that have held you back in your life. There are dreams that you have in your life that are unrealized. There are dreams that have been unreached and unrealized for one single reason. You're scared to death to go after it. What would happen if I fail? What would happen? And this sense and fear of failure has kept you from becoming all God wants you to be. But when you know how unconditionally loved you are by your Creator, it gives you the courage to take risks. When somebody believes in you, you can climb mountains. You know, sometimes with my wife, and she'll be sitting down right over here, all she has to do is wink at me, and I go 9 more services. Because I know somebody believes in me. And I can just keep on keeping on, and I can handle it. I've told you this story before, that when I was a young boy, we lived up in Northern California in the Redwoods, and one day in a shop class, I decided that my project was I was going to build a redwood table for my mom and dad. I have very little artistic, no, I have zero artistic ability or skill ability with the hands. I'm just not very coordinated with my hands. I'm just not. And I remember doing my best to make this redwood table look, and it was a disaster. I mean, it was the edges weren't right, and it wasn't at level, and the lacquer on it was too thick and too thin. And it was a mess, and I was going to present it to my parents at Christmas. And I remember one time out in the barn, and I wouldn't let my parents see it. I was had it out their head. My dad came out, and he could hear me crying. He said, "Can I come in, son?" I said, "Yeah." So he came in, and I said, "Oh, showed it to me. This is a piece of mess. I've been working on this thing for like 6 months, and it's a piece of junk." I'll never forget what my dad said. "It's okay, son. We can start over, and this time I'll help you." My dad was a carpenter par excellence. In his lifetime, he built over 150 church buildings. He knew how to build anything. He was an amazing carpenter. "Now we started over. I'll never forget. We can start over, and this time I'll help you." You may feel that up to this point in your life, you've had some pretty bad hits and misses. And it doesn't look too smart. It actually may look a little ugly in your life. That this is all I got to show for my life, and I'm this old. I'm telling you that today, this moment in your life, Jesus Christ and God your Father comes to you and says, "It's okay. You can start over. And this time I'll help you. And it'll make all the difference in the world. And now I get the courage to take new risks." 9-year-old Malachi Paul was auditioning for the TV show Britain's Got Talent. It's like our Star Search or, you know, The Voice and all of the American Idol. And there's this 9-year-old kid in England auditioning to see if he could get on the show. And he had some talent, but he was scared to death. And in the middle, or at the beginning of his performance, he got stage fright and had to stop. But I want you to notice what love does. Watch this.
Listen to the sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find release. Oh, the time has come for my dreams to be heard. They will not be pushed aside or turned into your own. Oh, 'cause you won't listen. Listen, I am alone at the crossroads. I'm not a hope in my own home. Said I'm trying to try to say what's on my mind. You should have known. Oh,
before the break, Malachi Paul took to the stage.
What's your name?
Malachi. I'm with my mum.
One thing I'm worried about today is Malachi getting stage fright. He gets a bit nervous.
Yeah, sometimes I get a bit nervous and get a stage fright.
And I remember that mummy's backstage. Imagine me backstage doing, "Yes, Malachi, go, Malachi." Think about that in your head. In front of big audiences, I would normally be in front of him. Now he's got to face the music on his own, and that's the one thing that I'm worried about.
Not one of the judges will buzz you.
Yeah. Hopefully, even if he gets it a little bit shaky in the beginning, that towards the ending of it, he'll just sail through.
If I just stop, I can just look at her and then I'll just carry on singing.
Listen to the song here in my heart.
People are going to like you a lot. Okay, let's go. David, yes or no?
A 1,000,000% yes.
Alicia?
100% yes from me. Well done, Malachi.
See how much better he sang after Unconditional Love? You have no idea how many times your Heavenly Father has wanted to scoop you up and wrap you in his arms and go, I love you unconditionally. And nobody can ever stop that. And when you feel that love, it will change your life. That is the first calling of God. Not to do something for God, but to let him love you. For some of you, and some of you are watching right now, this is the breakthrough moment of your life. God has been waiting your entire life to say this to you. I love you, and I will never stop loving you. And I made you to love you. And I want you to be my daughter. I want you to be my son. And this is the beginning of the rest of your life. And the reason that you have been so scared, spitless, to give your life 100% surrender to God is you don't know how much he loves you. That is a very foolish thing to do. You have no idea. He made you, he sent his son to die for you, and his spirit wants to live within you. And when you do, let that happen in your life. You will accomplish things in your life you never thought possible because you have the courage to take risks. Because the Bible says this in 1 John 4 on the screen. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. So how do I become a son of God? How do I become a daughter of God? Look on the screen. John 1:12. To all who believed him, that's Jesus, and accepted him, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. I want you to bow your heads right now. I want us to pray. And I want you to, this is the defining moment of your life. In your mind, say, Dear God, I can hardly understand that you would love me this much. In spite of the fact that I have sinned, I have rebelled, I have rejected you, I have gone my own way, and I'm so sorry. But today, I want to ask you to accept me into your family. I want to feel accepted rather than ashamed. I want to be bold in bringing my needs to you. I want to have peace and pain even when I don't understand it. I want to gain the courage to take risks. There is no fear in love. God, I need to feel your love right now. Jesus Christ, I open my heart completely to you. I invite you into my life as best I know how. And from this day forward, I want to make the number one reason of my life is to know and love you and let you love me. For this is what I was created for. I ask this in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we congratulate everybody who prayed that for the very first time just now. Congratulations. Quickly, one last thing. One more benefit. And I'll end with this. When I understand God's love for me, I worship instead of worry. I worship instead of worry. Now, what is worship? Worship is simply a fancy word that means expressing my love to God. Anytime you express your love to God, that is worship. You can do it in a small group. You can do it in a church service. You can do it on your own. You can sit it with a radio blaring in your car. Worship is simply expressing love to God. And when you worship, you're just saying, God, I love you. That's all you're saying. Worship is always response. We worship back because God loves us first. The Bible says on the screen, 1 John 4:19, we love because God first loved us. And I'll say it again. Your problem has been not that you didn't love God enough. Your problem has been you don't realize how much he loves you. What is the warning sign in your life when you're not aware of God's love? How do you know when at that moment you are not living in the love of God? Oh, it's real clear. One word. Worry. Every time you're worried, you're acting like an atheist. You're acting like it all depends on you. Worry is the warning sign that at that moment, you don't realize how much God loves you. Every time you worry, you're saying, I don't have a heavenly Father in heaven who loves me and takes care of me and has made all these promises. I'm an orphan. I'm on my own. Worry says, I don't really believe God. Matthew 6. Jesus says, don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. He'll give you all you need for day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now, this promise is why we're doing Live Your Calling. All the other callings we're going to look at flow out of this one, being loved. Being loved. Now, we're going to close with three things. First, you don't want to miss any of the series. You want to be here every week, and you need to be in a group. And if you're just getting here and you haven't joined a group yet, it's not too late. You don't want to miss these six video sessions I've taped on your calling and the study guide and the book. All that's going to be available to you. Just go out on the patio. All you got to do is say, I'll get two other friends and we'll start a group, and you do it for 6 weeks. You don't want to miss this. It'll change your life. Second, if you missed the last 2 weeks, you need to register for this, what we're doing. And there's most of you have already done this. There's a card inside. You don't need to pull it out unless you missed the last 2 weeks. And you need to register for Live Your Calling and drop this in the basket. You'll do that. Third, we're going to close with this week's memory verse. And the memory verse is the last verse on your outline. Well, the next to the last. Romans 6:13. Give yourselves completely to God since you have been given new life. Now, Romans 6:13, there's more to the verse than that, but we're just memorizing not the A, B, C part, just the middle part. So let's say it together. Romans 6:13. And you don't have to say the B, okay? Romans 6:13. Give yourself completely to God since you have been given new life. And where is that? Romans 6:13. Now, you're going to have to review it a lot this week, but I want you to learn this. Give yourself completely to God. That's worship. That's expressing my love to God since you've been given new life. Let's give our offerings.